They traveled through Phrygian Galatia to the territory because they had prevented by the Holy Spirit. And a Macedonian stood before them, implored to him, and said, "Help us." When they had seen this vision, we sought passage to Macedonia at once, concluding that God has called us to proclaim his good news to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's good to be back again. It's good to be back again here in Santa Inés, here in our little mission here. Such a beautiful little church. Thank you for keeping it up well. Who cleaned it up?
Mary.
There you are.
Mary
and
Maria and Abdon.
Maria and Abdon, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to all those animals that outside that ate up all the grass to make it real nice. Is that what it was? Thanks be to God for that. See, our Lord gave us animals, as you read in the book of Genesis, gave them for the use of man, so that man, having dominion over them, might be able to bring them and to make use of the world through them. Animals have dignity because they are made by God, but they have even greater dignity because God put them under the care of the greatest of his creations, which is man. That's us. That's us. Thank you for using them. Today we celebrate a number of mysteries, but something brings it all together. What's our mission? What's the mission that we have? Have you ever thought about what your mission is in life? It's good.
To go to heaven.
To go to heaven? That's good. What's your mission, young ones? I don't know your names. Your beautiful little young girls and little young man. Have you ever thought about what your mission in life is? Yeah. Okay. See? Get to work. That was one of the first commandments. It wasn't the first commandment. It was actually the third commandment that God gave to man, was to work, to do things, to act. First commandment was actually to be fruitful and multiply. It's the first one. And you can get the other ones from the rest of Genesis if you just look through it. It's very clear there. What's your mission? Some people know what their mission is. Other people think they know what their mission is. And the rest of you are just confused. It's not a good sign. But it does explain our world. It does explain our world quite a bit. If we don't know what our mission is, if we don't know what it is that we're supposed to do, if we have no idea what it is that we're supposed to accomplish, how can we ever hope to do it? I hear some people all the time, my own classmates, friends of mine, they go through this world, people that I encounter on the streets all the time, and they say, "Well, Father, we identify as we're progressive. We're making progress. We're going forward. We're doing this thing." And every time I stop them when they say that word and they say, "Well, what is progress? Where are you headed?" "Well, Father, we're headed forward. We're going. We're doing great things. Do you hear about the discoveries that are going on in this world? This new thing that just happened, this new medicine here that's able to cure this disease, or this new invention. Father, soon we're not even going to have to worry about having our hands on the steering wheel anymore. The car's going to drive itself. It's progress, Father." Well, what is progress toward? What are you headed toward? And when I ask them that question, they never have a reply. What are you moving toward? If you're making progress, what are you progressing toward? They just say forward. Pope Benedict XVI, Pope Emeritus now, he pointed out something very beautifully, and I caught on to it when I was a young man in my 20s prior to entering the seminary. He reminded us, he said, progress is a word that's used so often within our world. Everybody's progressing towards something. They're moving forward. But if they don't know the goal toward which they are moving, how can you judge progress from regress? Just because one is moving forward doesn't mean they're progressing. Progress could equally be regress if it's not headed toward the right goal. What good is it to say we're progressing if it's in the exact opposite direction of our goal? And so we have to know what our mission is as Catholics and as Christians, what it is that God is calling us to. Fabian knows what our mission is. Fabian, what is your mission? To become a saint. And how is that achieved?
Path of holiness.
Why did God make you?
God made me to know him, to serve him, to love him in this life, and to be happy with him forever in the next.
Okay. Fabian, there's some viejitos that are a little poco sordo.
like mucho.
Mucho sordo.
Mucho sordo.
Fabian, why did God make you?
God made me to know him, to serve him, to love him in this life, and to be happy with him forever in the next.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's your mission. Your mission is that. So beautifully stated, a single sentence. A powerful sentence. That's the first thing. That is half of the confirmation exam, is answering that question correctly. Palabra por palabra. Word for word. Because that's what our mission is. We have to know what our mission is. Your mission is to know God, to love Him, and then to serve Him now in this life. Why? Because when you do that, you're going to arrive at a goal, an end. The mission is know, love, and serve God. And the goal is to arrive, to progress to being with God, happy, joy-filled, forever in heaven. That's the goal. That's the goal. And so what our mission is to see if everything in our life is helping us to know God, to love God, and to serve God, if it answers those three things, and it's ultimately going to lead us toward the end, which is heaven. And if it doesn't, it's not going to lead us there. The choices in our life are binary. We have a mission to know, to love, and to serve God in this life, because that's the only way we're ever going to be happy. The only way we're ever going to be with God. The only way we'll be in heaven forever. Each of you have another mission. Today we're here to celebrate a mission that is begun 50 years ago. 50 years ago, there were four of you who began a particular mission. Some of you began it even further ago. It's the mission of marriage. What's the mission of marriage oriented toward? You've been working at it 50 years.
To accept, to love, to have God in your life. Have God as your strength. And keep your family together and strong. Be an example for your family, for your kids, your grandkids. And that's why we're here today. Mm-hmm. We want our kids to look at this and know that we've made it. When Mr. and Mrs. Angel, his parents, when they made their 50th, they were our strength. And I said, if they could do it, we could do it. And here we are.
That's beautiful. That is a good part of the matrimonial mission. Where's our other couple? Right here. You're really married 50 years?
Yes, sir.
Did he marry you when you were 5?
Just about.
Thank you.
I was 18 going on 19.
Wow. Or at least that's what she forged the birth certificate to say.
Yeah. Wow. Still got the original.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. What's your matrimonial mission? The mission of matrimony?
To love and serve God and accept His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. He told us in John 3:16 that we must recognize His Son. We cannot get to heaven without knowing His Son. And Jesus told us, He can only go to heaven unless you come through me. Mm-hmm. He is the gate, the door,
the way.
To accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And then we await joyfully and try our best, not just try, do it. Mm-hmm. And be the best Christian that you can be, to try to be there ready for Christ when He comes for us. And we have to be ready. He tells us in so many parables what we have to do. And it's all there in the Bible. It tells us exactly what to do. But he told Nicodemus, you know, Nicodemus came to him at nighttime because he was afraid of what the higher echelons were going to do to him. So he came to Jesus at nighttime and asked him, how do we achieve eternal life? And he told him, wow, you don't know and you're a teacher of the law? He's, you know, you have to be born again. And, you know, the meaning born again is where you accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and you change your life. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit will help you to change your life and move on forward.
Yeah, that's kind of right. Mm-hmm. There's actually more in that passage that you have there.
A lot to it.
It says you gotta be born of. Jesus says, well, you gotta be born of water and of the Spirit, water and of the Spirit. So he's talking about baptism.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus says, if you wish to be saved, repent and be baptized, and all sorts of other beautiful things. Those are good teachings on what it means to follow Jesus. But it has nothing to do with marriage, specifically. Specifically. What is marriage? Your matrimonial mission is this, and you're living it out even though you can't put your finger on it.
To serve each other.
The matrimonial mission is, this is what should bring every couple together. Many of you are couples here. There are young ones here who are looking, maybe God is calling me to be a married life. Maybe God is calling me to be a sister like Sister Ann. Maybe God is calling me to be a deacon like Deacon Marvin. Maybe God is calling me to be a priest. Maybe like Fabian's striving to be. Like Father Burnaby is. Whatever your mission in life is, whatever God is calling you to, this is how marriage works. When you look and you find that person that you're striving to marry, which is this one, you recognize the goodness in that other person. Something that draws you to them, that irrepeatable nature of that young lady or that young man that you see there that just really excites something in you. And you see that goodness there and you say, I can't imagine a future. I can't imagine a future where that beautiful woman there, isn't with Jesus. I can't imagine that. So what I want to do is I want to offer myself as a sacrifice for that woman. For that woman. For the rest of my life. To help her get there. That's what it means in Ephesians chapter 5. Where it says, men, husbands, you're commanded to love your wives. As Christ loves the church. And gave himself up for her. And wives, it's the same thing. You see that goodness in that man. Somehow you saw it. I don't see it, but you see it. You see it.
They're angels, Father.
Yeah, I know.
They're angels.
You see that goodness there, and you said the exact same thing. You can't imagine a future where that man is not with Jesus. And hopefully you held back the chisel and said, it's not my job to chisel him. Not my job to make him more like Christ. That's God's work. I'm here to let him see that and let God do the chiseling on him. And so that is the vocation of marriage. That's the matrimonial mission. That's what 50 years you've lived out, and even more for you all. Less for you. So many are striving for that same movement. Our Lord has called us for that. And how do we achieve it? Look in that first reading. Look in that first reading. What do we see about Paul and Barnabas? Three times it says in this little short reading in the book of Acts, it says that they were trying to go someplace and they were prevented. They wanted to go in this direction and they were prevented. They wanted to go this way and they were prevented. And then all of a sudden something out of the blue came that they would have never even conceived of. And they knew that's where they were supposed to go. How did they know? The Spirit. They were listening to the Holy Spirit. They were guided by the Holy Spirit. They were watching the Holy Spirit. They were listening for the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? He dwells in the heart of the baptized. From the very first moment of your baptism, God came to live within you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Prior to that moment, God wasn't there. Covered with that original sin, which kept you away from the love of God. But from that moment, even if it was as a beautiful little boy or a little girl who had not yet the use of your reason, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God in his fullness of divinity, lived and dwelt within your soul, moving you toward the end of the mission, which is what? To know him, to love him, and to serve him in the now, in the present. And when we do that, that's how we make it to the end. You've lived out lives of sacrifice and love for one another. Thank God for that. In fact, just before we were here, Deacon Marvin and I were at Calvario Cemetery. There we laid to rest the mortal remains of Robert and Charlotte. This man and this woman who truly loved God and suffered through the difficulties they had. He caring for her when everybody else said, just put her away. You can't do it. She's too much for you. Sadly, many of your peers would have washed their hands and gone away. because I can't deal with that. I can't deal with the hardness of taking care of somebody who can't take care of themselves. But yet Robert lovingly and willingly did everything for his wife because he remembered before the altar of God where Jesus was present at that mass of his matrimony. He said, for better or for worse, for sickness or for health, as long as we both shall live, I thee wed. And so solemnized before Jesus in the Eucharist, where Jesus was present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Robert wasn't able to do it on his own. But God, who lives in Robert, gave him the strength to do so. He didn't decide he wanted to because he's such a good man, which he was. He decided to do so because God is so good to him. And he promised to give everything for the one who God loves, his bride. And so too he does for each of us. As we meditate upon this great mystery of marriage that God places before us in the two of you couples, and the sacrifices which you have offered, and many times you could have rolled up your sleeves, washed your hands, and gone away. But by the grace of God, you didn't. And so thanking God for his mercies here, we ask our Lord for the continued success of your mission, because it's not over yet. Until both of you are in his presence. Not by a long shot is it over.
There's more?
There's no retirement.
There's no retirement. Till death do you part, and then that one who dies better help the other. Because that is our great grace as Catholics. We know that height nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things which are to come. Life and death, nothing can separate us from the love that we have in Christ Jesus. And if Jesus is that principle of unity, that love, that bond of perfection, as Colossians chapter 3 states, we know that those who are held within the love of God in this life don't reject it, that they're with God forever. And that if we hold that same connection to God, which is love, and don't reject it by mortal sin, remain close to him, united to him, that we're united to him forever. And so too, by the love which is Christ, which is the bond of perfection, we're connected to our loved ones in heaven, who through that love which is Jesus always are able to intercede for us, to give us the graces that we need through Jesus, so that we can always be with Jesus. That's your matrimonial mission. You're living it out. Continue. 25 years from now, if the Lord still gives me breath, we'll do the 75th.
My Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.